You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Plain Language Bill, which is currently before Parliament, is seeking to make New Zealand's political communication easier to understand. In charge of the bill is Labour MP Rachel Boyack, who considers plain language to be a basic democratic right. I spoke to Rachel Boyack about the bill, the problems it aims to address, and what plain language actually means. I began by asking what issues have been identified with New Zealand's political language and how they might be addressed in this legislation.
Look, the issues I've identified, particularly as an electorate MP based in Nelson, is that often government departments will be sending communications or writing to people in my electorate, and people will often have trouble understanding the language in the letter and what is being asked of them. So we do need to introduce some law to basically require government departments to write in plain language when the audience is a member of the public.
Why is it important what language is used by the public service? Are there real material implications for New Zealanders?
It's very important because people have a right to be able to participate in society, to participate in democracy, to understand what's being asked of them in terms of fines or taxes or other regulations that they have to follow or pay for. But also people have a right to understand the benefits that they're able to receive from government, for example, things like superannuation, things like the core benefit. So there's a whole range of things that we ask people to do as government, and it's important that every New Zealander is able to understand and action that. And I've seen examples in my electorate where someone has come in with a letter and it hasn't been clear what they need to do, and that can lead to people sometimes not complying, getting behind in a payment, not receiving a benefit they're entitled to. So it has real implications for people.
Has this sort of legislation been tried in other countries? And if so, what kinds of results have been observed?
So we've modelled our legislation, the original bill on legislation in the United States, and that saw a real improvement in plain language being used in departments in the United States. And it led to greater compliance with what people were being asked to do because they understood it. We did see a bit of a drop away, and part of that is potentially due to administration change and whether you had a real push for it from the Trump administration. But it's something that has also been worked on in a lot of private sector organisations, and we've seen analysis done to show that you end up with higher productivity, a lower number of people phoning call centres asking for information or advice when the information is presented to them in a way that they can understand it.
What exactly is plain language? Is this something you see to be common among all speakers of English in the country?
So plain language is where it's concise, where it's clear, where it can be understood quickly by people. A lot of us who study, for example, at university, and I'm a graduate of Auckland University, we get taught sometimes to write in academic language, and then we go on and work in places like the public service and take that language with us. And, we've got a high percentage of people who adults who don't have strong literacy. One of the things we've put into the bill specifically is for the public service commissioner who has the responsibility, so that person is the most senior public servant, they have the responsibility to issue guidelines for government agencies. They need to take into account international best practice. And on that, there is actually an international standard being developed internationally, what's called an ISO is the acronym for that. So over the next few years, we should eventually have an international standard on what plain language is, and that would be the best guidance to give agencies when that becomes, when that particular piece of work is completed.
Is there any concern about a lack of accuracy in communication as, say, words get shorter or you substitute easier language for more complex terms, do you believe that this could lead to something not being communicated quite as effectively?
So it just comes up, actually, as a concern people do raise about plain language. And the point I'd make is that this is particularly about the language that that constituents and members of the public read. If you're talking about a piece of information, say, that an immigration advisor or an accountant needs to read, somebody who's working in a technical role or in the health service, absolutely that language needs to stay and be technical language. But for people who are everyday New Zealanders, they should have the right to be able to understand it. Sometimes that might mean including technical language, but making sure there's really clear definitions of what that means. Things like taking out acronyms that people don't understand and writing the full, you know, the full set of words so that people can understand it. So it's not about dumbing down the language, it's about making the language clearer.
The National Party has strongly opposed the bill, claiming that such this problem of difficult language doesn't really exist, and that the real purpose is to introduce, quote, language police officers, end quote, at the taxpayers' expense. How would you respond to this criticism?
Oh, I, to be honest, it's a bit farcical, that criticism. There is a genuine issue out there, and in their speeches, the National Government have acknowledged that, and my view is that people with low levels of literacy, people who are migrants to New Zealand, have the right to understand what government is asking them to do and what they are entitled to receive from government. And, you know, we are talking in Parliament a lot about, you know, improving trust in government and accountability for government. This is actually about improving trust and transparency so that people understand what government is doing in their lives. And so it's just a farcical response in my view. A lot of government agencies are already doing this work. There aren't going to be hundreds and hundreds of people hired to do these roles. They'll be people who are already, already working inside the public service. So, you know, I think they're just looking for some silly criticisms and opposing for opposing sake.
Do you not believe there is any serious concern about, and say, increase in administrative bloat or even a centralisation of language that could lead to, say, more controls over what politicians can say or kind of more restrictions on speech? Do you not believe this is a serious concern?
No, but this doesn't apply to politicians. So this specifically applies to public sector agencies communicating with the public on things like this is how much you get each week in a benefit. It has absolutely no implication for politicians or for what we can say, for example, in the House. What we saw in private sector organisations that have completed an analysis on introducing plain language is a significant increase in employee productivity, a significant increase in decrease in the number of people phoning a call centre to get clearer information because they didn't understand the letter that was sent to them. So in my discussions with National MPs, they agree that plain language is actually important. So they're just, you know, I think being, as I said before, a little bit farcical in their response.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.